This is the Spirit of Leading, your guide to becoming empowered to lead, competent, confident, and connected. Someone who can and will make a difference in your workplace, your family, and your community. Hello and welcome to this episode of The Spirit of Leading. I'm Garland McWaters, your host, and my guest on this episode is Grant Napoleon. Grant is the System Director, Organizational Development and Learning at the Integrus Leadership Center in Integrus Hospital System in Oklahoma City. I get that right, because there's a lot going on here. You're also the Dean of the Integrus Leadership Institute at Integrus. Did I get that right?
Yes, you got it exactly right.
All right, great. In fact, I've taken the traveling microphone into Oklahoma City, and we are actually in the Integrus Leadership Learning Center. So Integrus is taking their leadership development activities pretty seriously, aren't they, Rick?
Yes, and actually has for the past decade in particular. We're blessed to have a CEO and a senior leadership team that goes beyond the lip service on this, and they support this fully, not just in money and rhetoric, but their time.
And that's really a blessing to have a leadership team that is so fully committed to something, because sometimes they could say it's really a great idea, and then when you really need them, you know, to come through for you with resources or other kinds of support, they go, you have to kind of fight your way through that. But I've certainly been impressed with what I've seen and what I've learned about the system. Now, you've actually been with Integrus for quite a while, haven't you? And how did you get in the system? How did you kind of get to be where you are today in this wonderful leadership system?
Actually, I had a good career with the United States Air Force. Landed in Oklahoma City and was getting ready to take another assignment into the D.C. area. An opportunity at Integrus Health opened. And I was thinking, well, I'm not really too knowledgeable about what goes on in healthcare, but I'll give them a try for a year and see what happens. Actually, that was almost 18 years ago, and it's been a very fun and interesting ride. Never a dull moment. I was given one good, fun, interesting, engaging assignment after the other. And it's one of those things you wake up on a Monday morning excited to go to work.
It's exciting to hear that, because so many people today sort of jump from job to job, and I know in my work as a trainer and a leadership consultant that I talk to people who are just kind of here, and then 6 months later someone else is in their role or they could move on somewhere else, and it's sometimes it's hard to get some continuity even in that. So really to have the longevity that you've had here really is a blessing, I guess, for you. But also it really speaks to what I want to accomplish today in this interview, and that's to talk about your experience sort of from all the way through that. And in keeping with the theme of this podcast, which is the spirit of leadership, we're not really just talking about skills we develop, but it's more the attitude we have about leading and leadership. And so that's sort of what I want to hear from you is what are the qualities and the spirit that you've seen not only from yourself but from the people that you've been privileged to help develop into the leaders that have now moved on up into leadership roles around the system. And so, reflecting back on your early days and where you are now, what would you say is one of the things that has really stuck with you that's helped you be successful and get to where you are?
Oh gosh, being in the Air Force, it was all about leadership. And when I was new to the Air Force, I wanted to gain some rank. There was an old expression, and it was RHIP. Rank has its privileges. And I thought, wow, that's wonderful. And so I wanted to get a little bit of rank and earn some of those privileges. And just when I thought I had earned enough rank to enjoy some privilege, I had a wise NCO come to me and say, you hear a lot about RHIP. The truth is, in the Air Force, we are servant leaders. It's not about earning things for yourself and rewards for you. It's how you're able to reward and serve your men and your team. And that was a profound shifted my thinking. I was disappointed for the first 30 seconds and then realized I had been given a wonderful gift to think correctly in my thinking today about what leadership is.
Now, how has that attitude toward leadership worked for you and brought fruit, you know, into your own professional development over the years?
Well, it kept me constructive. It kept me away from my pity parties if I didn't think I was duly noted or duly rewarded and things. And it really grounded me in a way and gave me a good self-awareness, which I think is one of the most valuable and important attributes of any leader. If you don't have that cornerstone of self-awareness in your leadership, other things will come across in maybe bizarre, quirky ways that people won't understand and that you're not connected with.
Yeah, so being paying attention to how you're coming across and affecting others is also a real skill, because sometimes you just don't. I mean, I've fallen into that trap. I can certainly speak to having taken the other path a time or two, and I didn't really get the results I wanted. But I'm really interested in this servant aspect of it, and no doubt, you know, in your experience, you've risen to a level where that position has its perks and its privilege. You know, without actually carrying the title of a dean of this institute, this leadership effort, how has that affected the way you've gone about developing the programs that you want to develop in leadership here?
The title hasn't impacted me personally. What it has done is helped give some credibility to the Leadership Institute, and I'm in a better position to reach out and connect and resource the things I need and help persuade and build the Institute more. I never use the title of a dean of the Integrous Leadership Institute for anything that I would consider a personal gain. In fact, I carry it as a badge of honor, and to me, it's a constant reminder to raise the system even higher.
And remembering that it's not all about position power is a really important thing to leaders, and I know that I as a consultant have come across a lot of people who just rely on that position. You know, I'm the boss and this is the way it's going to be, and forget that spirit that we're wanting to emphasize. Let's talk a little bit about the program itself and the way you bring your experience to this program. This is a big part of the succession planning effort with Integrous, isn't it?
It is. In fact, what we call the Leadership Acceleration Program, which is our version of succession planning, is an area within the Integrous Leadership Institute. And we invest an awful lot of time and effort to do talent reviews of everyone in a leadership role. So at Integrous, that means we have about 1,000 people with official leadership titles that build their profile. Their manager reviews that, makes additional input, looks at their development and growth opportunities. We take that information with their time here with Integrous, and we put together a panel of senior leaders that will sit and look at every document that comes in on a talent review for an individual. In fact, that individual supervisor is in the room representing them. And it's not about trying to get somebody necessarily promoted. It's about developing bench strength across the board. And each supervisor leaves that panel and goes back and sits and has a conversation with the individual they represented about where the panel thinks they can continue to grow and develop and build those strengths. So when Integrous has a need in a particular area, we know what door to knock on or where to begin to look to see where that talent is. Instead of having a one deep somewhere, we know that we can interview and work through a half a dozen people in certain situations.
That's really a very thoughtful approach too. And it's not, like I said, just not the one deep. Because when you start thinking about who's there ready to play, it's almost like looking at the depth chart, you know, of a football team. You've got to look and see not only what your depth is, but what the cross training is. Is there someone in another similar position who can come fill in if necessary, or be elevated, or make a switch? It's quite a involved process of looking not only at talent and strengths, but but the attitude, I guess, of the people who are being considered. When you look at developing your bench strength, what do you look at, or do you look at things beyond just the skill or the talent that a person might seem to possess?
Absolutely, and you hit it on the head with attitude. We actually, our values at Integris are love, learn, and lead. And for an organization of just about 10,000 employees, how do we measure love? Well, I'll tell you, we measure our values of love, learn, and lead every year in the annual review. Each individual is reviewed on a series of questions under love and things like, are they honest with one another and themselves? Do they exhibit caring for what they do and for the teams they lead? And so that's a full third of the weight of their annual review on our values of love, learn, and lead. So we put the oomph into that. And that also feeds very nicely right into the Leadership Institute. And when we opened the Leadership Institute, it was for those with official leadership titles initially. A year ago, we opened it up to all employees, as we consider ourselves to be what we term a leaderful organization. And you don't necessarily have to have a title to be a leader. And so we open many opportunities to all of our employees.
That's really exceptional program that you're describing to me here. Just to remind you, we're visiting with Grant Napoleon, who is, let's see if I can get this title right again, because it's a whole mouthful. I'm just going to stick with the dean one. The dean of the Integris Leadership Institute at Integris Health in Oklahoma City. And by the way, I didn't mention this in the intro, but Integris really is a statewide health system, and it has grown into that over, I guess, your tenure here as well. Back in the 1990s, it was basically a standalone hospital, and over the years, it's now become quite a statewide system. How has this reach into other parts of the state affected your particular responsibilities?
Well, it creates a lot of challenges and also created a lot of opportunities. The challenges were, if we're going to grow and develop our leadership team, how do we, without having a one-size-fits-all approach, which I don't think works, is how do we reach all those leaders across the state at their various levels, their various needs, and make it relevant to them and also rewarding back to the organization. And we're able to leverage technology where it mattered. We're able to put boots on the ground, so to speak, send people out and bring people in. And we were able to do that because our CEO and his leadership team believes in it that strongly. And it makes all the difference.
Well, yeah, like as we were talking earlier, having that commitment from the top really does make a big difference that way. And I know Integris is one of those systems, is a health system, which has all kinds of people in it. You've got highly educated physicians and nurses and technicians and people who are just have all kinds of credentials everywhere. And then you have kind of people who are coming in very entry-level positions, working in the domestic services and housekeeping or orderlies. I know all the terminology in the health system, but it's a wide variety of backgrounds and educational levels and lifestyle expectations and things like that. How do you blend all of that into a leadership program?
Well, that's actually what it is, blend. We use the blended learning approach. You know, not everyone learns the same way. And so we have these opportunities, whether, we meet them where they are in their learning needs. And we continue to grow and develop them and lift them. So what you're pointing out, Garland, in a way was, think of a city, and not even a small city, a city where you have, you know, maybe 8,000 people there. We're talking about patients on board, the patients' families, the workers at one particular large hospital like Baptist Medical Center. Everything it takes to run a city, every kind of job you have to hire and put together, we have to have at any unique hospital. And to do that, like you said, we have a lot of talent there. How do we continue to grow and develop that talent and then retain it? And so they continue to do the best and actually serve our patients and their population. That's a challenge we take very seriously, right from, you know, our new employee orientation is a piece of the Leadership Institute. The first day, a person starts with Integris, they go through they go through new employee orientation, and that's laid out there in the opportunities.
That's a very well integrated process, because usually it's an afterthought somewhere. And a lot of times orientation programs are, well, here's the way you sign in, here's when you sign out, and here are the keys to your office or whatever your responsibilities are, good luck. And, do this and don't do that, you know, and so that's about what you get. Sounds like you all have really thought through this. And I know that over the years, you've really, as the system has grown, you've brought in other facilities who had very different cultures and very different backgrounds and sort of different communities and stuff like that. And you were here during some of this, I guess during most of that. What was the challenges in terms of instilling a new leadership culture in those other institutions as you integrated them into the Integris family?
What really helped with that a lot was our leader orientation. And we realized that every leader who has their own unit and department, even within a particular hospital, has their own culture. And we know we don't have one culture fits all, and yet we try to build the culture around our values of love, learn, and lead. We integrate our leaders in with their teams and bring them together. So when they go back and they are engaging with their teams and their people, we have that common set of values, that common ground that makes a big difference.
Yeah. We'd mentioned earlier about leadership being a part of succession planning. I think we mentioned that. And think about your own department, because I know you probably don't intend to be here forever, even though it's a great gig. But how are you in your own department dealing with the succession issues of who's next and how are they coming up? And, you know, I know keeping people on staff has got to be difficult at times, because talented people come along and they get a chance to go someplace else. And I've even heard people say, well, why would I want to train everybody? They're just going to leave. But everybody deals with that. How are you all handling that here?
Well, I take it very seriously, as does my leadership group. And it comes down to the fact I have no control if I leave out of here after this discussion and get hit by a bus or a lightning bolt. Or there's going to come a time where I may decide I want to live in the south of France for a while. And knowing that, our leadership acceleration program, I have several members on my team that could stand in for me and pick it up like I was never here in a sense of being missed. And to me, that's the biggest compliment I could have, is if I walk out the door one day, that there's continuity and it continues and it goes. I have some very talented people, and I feel convinced they're here for the long run because they see the value as I do.
Well, that's refreshing to hear, because a lot of people who reach a certain level of leadership are so afraid for their job. They're afraid of someone, they're going to be booted out, you know, for someone who would do it for a few dollars less. But then that also speaks to the quality of the organization as well, who recognizes the talent and the value that you add way beyond what you're paid, and support that kind of across the board. Not only are you wide, but you're deep. And developing those kinds of leadership programs. Well, as we kind of wrap up this edition, if you were going to be talking to young people who are just kind of getting started in maybe their first job, or they've only been in the workforce a few years, but they're really starting to think about, well, I think I've got what it takes to move up. And in your sage way, What would you say would be the thing or attitude or whatever it might be that would give them an advantage maybe over others as they start developing their own leadership abilities?
It's the simple things that I use a phrase often, is get up, dress up, and show up, and bring your better self. Believe in who you are, have confidence, and also believe and have confidence in the people around you, and you will rise to leadership with a title. Be leaderful. Don't wait until you think you want to become a leader by official title. Lead from the beginning. And another thing, when I open a position sometimes, I'll see somebody in a suit for the very first time. They'll show up. They're all dressed up. and they're interviewing for this position. What they don't realize is that they're presenting themselves in a very different way at that point. Every interaction I have with people on my team and others around me is actually an interview for the position. So be your true, authentic, genuine self.
Great advice. And we're always being interviewed, aren't we? It's not just something that happens when a job opens. Every day is the day that you're putting your signature to your work. And I guess that's one of the things that I want to emphasize as we kind of wrap up this episode, that the spirit of leading goes way beyond just any type of a job title or position. It really is a lifestyle. Leadership is a lifestyle. It's something that you live with. It's who you are. And you've got to really want to be in that kind of a role. People are always watching you as a leader, and the way we act and what we project and the attitudes that we show really do make a difference. So thank you, Grant, for this taking the time. I know it's a very busy day for you all. What's happening today as we record this here at Integra? Something special is going on.
Well, we're actually looking at our 360 reviews of all of our senior leadership team, and even our senior leaders continue to grow and develop and take on advice on how they can be better. So that's the focus of the next couple of days.
Great. Well, congratulations on what you've been able to accomplish here, and thank you for taking time to tell us about your experience. That's Grant Napoleon, System Director, Organizational Development and Learning, and the Dean of the Integris Leadership Institute at Integris Health in Oklahoma City. Thanks so much for taking your time today, Grant, and best wishes on the future success. Thanks for listening, and don't miss out on future episodes of The Spirit of Leading. You can subscribe to my blog at empoweredtolead.com, and you'll get notifications in your email when a new podcast is available. So I encourage you today to go forth in the spirit of leading, to live each and every day by encouraging the spirit, enlivening the heart, enlightening the mind, and enlarging the expectations of living in yourself and in others. I'm Garland McWaters, and thank you for listening.